This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Shriver, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome to Wildcard Week. We'll discuss the Bills' win over the Jets yesterday a little bit. But, of course, what everybody wants to talk about now is playoffs. Now that the Bills locked up the AFC East, they didn't even need to win because the Patriots do what the Patriots do in Miami in December and choked. And the Bills didn't play all that well, and they won by 17 points.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills, if you look at the box score and get a total yard, that's a domination. The Bills' offense struggled a bit more than that. They had the second and third quarters weren't great, but they did what they had to do. They made enough plays. The defense was absolutely dominant. 9 sacks, just unbelievable. The Jets could do nothing on offense, and a comfortable 17-point win.
Yeah, and the offense didn't play well, I should specify, because the defense was just lights out. The Bills ran more offensive snaps than the Jets had offensive yards. Joe Biscaglia pointed that out on his podcast, which is just a ridiculous stat. And, you know, the offense, it felt like, you know, they were cruising those first two possessions. They got 10 points. They stalled out a little bit once for the field goal, but they felt inevitable at the beginning of the game. And it felt like they just took their foot off the gas and just wanted to get out of there with a win without getting anybody hurt. It felt like they stopped being aggressive. I don't know. It's almost like they felt like the game was over, which it was, but I don't know. I didn't like it, but I don't think it's concerning going into playoffs.
No, I'm not concerned at all. I think the offense was fine. I mean, they had the lull in the middle of the game, but the end of the second half, beginning of the first half, the offense was great. They didn't try to do anything special. They didn't really show a ton. They dominated possession. I mean, I don't think the offense was bad is necessarily fair. They weren't bad. They weren't great, but I don't think they were bad either. I mean, 424 yards, over 5 yards of play, consistently moving the ball on the field, except for a few drives. They had two 3-and-outs in a row with the weird punts, and otherwise consistently moving the ball. Like I really think they were fine. Now, is that good enough in the playoffs? If the defense plays like that, yeah, probably. Otherwise, probably not. But I'm not concerned about it at all.
Yeah, and when you look at the total yard disparity, like any other, that game's almost an anomaly, that score, that they only won 27-10 with that type of spread of total yards. Like, the Jets had 40 yards on one play that they scored the touchdown on. I think they had, 20-some yards the rest of the game combined?
Less than that. I mean, the Jets had 53 yards of offense in that game. And the touchdown was 40 yards. So they had 13 yards outside of the touchdown.
Yeah, the Jets are bad. The Bills' defense is really good. And I think, it was pretty windy again. But the good news is, the forecast for Saturday, at least now on Monday, is just frigid cold, no precipitation, and very little wind, which you can deal with the cold. And Josh Allen's been okay in the wind, but, his road splits have been a lot better because he hasn't been throwing in swirling winds.
Right. When we talk about bad weather, the Bills' offense struggling, and a couple of things go with that. Like, yes, the Bills' offense struggles. It means the other offense is going to struggle too. Josh Allen's been clearly better than other quarterbacks in the bad weather. But the bad weather we talk about is windy or raining. Things that make it really hard or a lot harder to throw the football. If it's going to be what in the game time forecast is going to be single digit temperatures, negative wind chills, but the wind only 5-10 miles an hour, that's not really wind. It's just negative wind chills because it's already so cold. That's something the Bills' offense is going to be fine in. I don't think it's going to change necessarily how they play. The only thing is Josh might have to take a couple miles an hour off some of those shorter passes he throws sometimes. Because we saw how many drops the Bills had 2 weeks ago against the Falcons in the cold weather. Like, that's the only difference. I think the Bills are going to be fine offensively, given the weather forecast as of right now.
Yeah, and his game against the Patriots is probably the best game of his career, the last one. We can't expect that this time out. I mean, I expect Josh Allen to be the best player on the field, but I don't expect him to have the best game of his career again. But if he plays, you know, just a decent Josh Allen game and the defense doesn't get gashed everywhere on the ground, I think the Bills should win this game against the Patriots, and we can start breaking down that matchup again. They get their rubber match against the Patriots, having split in the regular season. And I think it's just a bad matchup for each other. It's like both teams do things well that the other team doesn't handle well. But the Bills' passing offense and being able to crush man-to-man is much more of an advantage than the Patriots being able to run the ball.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And the Bills, and the other thing to remember, the Bills' rushing defense hasn't been terrible this year. It hasn't been, there's been games where it's been bad, but they're still a top half rushing defense in the NFL. And the passing defense is number one. The Patriots, the quarterback difference is insane in this game. And I think the Bills have an advantage overall because of that. Like, the Patriots run game, power run game is very good. The Bills have struggled against power run games this year. But if the Bills limit any big plays on the ground, I don't see the Patriots being able to score a ton of points.
Yeah, it's just don't give up the big play, basically, if you're the Bills. And the only thing that worries about me in the passing game is Dane Jackson is a bit susceptible to those double moves. And, you know, the Patriots don't have a ton of guys that scare you with that, but Kendrick Bourne maybe is a guy that can do that. But I think if the Bills' defense does what they typically do, I'm not afraid of this Patriots offense. And really for the Bills, it comes down to, you know, we discuss this almost every week, but especially against an opponent who has strengths like the Patriots, being able to run the ball and power run most of the time, then, you know, you can't get behind. If the Bills score first and get ahead, they're going to control the game like they did the second time they played the Patriots. Now, if they go down early, like they did the first time, it becomes a lot more difficult because the Patriots can just run the ball and keep the Bills' offense off the field.
Right, 100%. You can't, if you get down to the Patriots, it plays into their hands because they don't have to use their quarterback. And not that Mac Jones is bad. Mac Jones isn't bad. He's not, I still think like Mac Jones greater than Tua. I will definitely agree with that, but he's not good. He's not a great, he's a rookie quarterback who does a good job managing the game. He's very accurate. He can make certain throws very well, but if you put him in a situation where he has to make plays, he's not going to make a lot of plays. And that's why if you can force the Patriots to be a passing team, they are going to struggle.
Right. I think that summarizes it well. If you ask him to win a game for you, he's not going to do that. Like, that's not who he is at this point in his career. Can he become that someday? Maybe, but I don't see him becoming like this elite level guy, but he's definitely not bad. Like, he's an average NFL starter, I think, is kind of his floor. And, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of elite traits outside of being accurate. So, I mean, we'll see what he is long term. Weird things can happen in one game sample sizes. The Bills are the better team here. They're favored by 4.5, which feels about right. But I don't know, Nate, do you think, obviously, like, it's a disappointment if they lose this game, but I wouldn't say the sky is falling for this franchise if, you know, they lose to the Patriots.
No, the sky's not falling. This is still a team that's going to be good going forward. It's going to be a team that is going to be favored to win the AFC East next year, no matter how this game shakes out. But, yes, it's going to be a pretty big disappointment if they were to lose to the Patriots. Like, this is a game that this Bills team should win. The Bills are more, significantly more talented. They have the better player, the much better player, the most important position on the field. And they're playing better going into the playoffs. The Bills have not lost since losing to the Patriots. Patriots have been struggling recently. They had one game they won against Jacksonville and then blowout. But outside of that, since they beat the Bills, they've really struggled. And all of those things kind of, in my mind, play into the Bills' hands going into Saturday night.
Yeah, for me, I'm curious to see what adjustments Bill Belichick makes, because he played a lot of man-to-man the last time. And the Bills didn't have Gabe Davis or Cole Beasley, and Isaiah McKenzie just tore them apart on crossing routes. So I'm curious to see what adjustments they make, if they just start sitting in two high zones or cover three and just sit there and make Josh Allen try to pick them apart with small gains all the way down the field. But when there's not a whole lot of wind, you can still beat those coverages with deep throws. And, you know, he has just missed a couple of deep passes, even in the swirling winds the last couple of weeks. I think Gabe Davis could have had a touchdown last game if he just dove for that ball on that go route. Like, he didn't even stretch his arms out, and I think he could have got it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a tough play, but he probably could have made that play. And I think the Patriots – so Josh Allen against Patriots when they beat them this year, Patriots opened the game playing a lot of off coverage. They played a quite a bit of zone. They didn't really – they kind of ignored Devin Singletary and any of the check down routes, and Josh Allen was taking those early in the game for chunk plays, especially on the first drive. And then the Patriots after that went to more of a press man type of defense, and the Bills picked and Josh Allen picked them apart with Isaiah McKenzie and Steph Diggs. And I think if Josh Allen can play that way against the Patriots this weekend, it's going to be tough for them to be able to stop him. You have to choose what you're going to do against this Bills team. Do you play zone? Do you play sitting too high? Do you say, okay, you can have checkdowns and hope Josh Allen can't hit him or hope your pass rush can get home? Or do you play man-to-man and play, in my mind, into the Bills' hands? Yes, it's your strength, but it's also the Bills' offense strength, especially if Isaiah McKenzie gets a lot of snaps, which I think he should get more snaps than Cole Beasley on Saturday. It's a tough decision for the Patriots because Josh Allen showed when he beat them a few weeks ago, he can beat them either way.
Yeah, and the other thing when they go man is even if they do cover well, if you don't spy Josh Allen, you just pull the ball down and run and there's nothing they can do about it. And the Bills really kind of did some power run stuff with him in that game. And I think that's what I like most about the Bills, what they've done here in December is all of a sudden, they have a competent rushing offense, and they almost lean on it a bit too much at times. I don't know if they're just trying to keep stuff off of film going into the playoffs, but when they want to, seems like they're able to run the ball successfully, whether it's with Devin Singletary or Josh Allen.
They've been, ever since they figured out their O-line combination, they've been running the ball really well. So, since the starting with the Tampa Bay game, the Bills have ran for at least 100 yards as a team in every game since then, and they've hit 170 three times. And a lot of that has to do with they finally figured out their offensive line combination. The offensive line is playing great. Mitch Morse has been playing the best football maybe of his career the last few weeks. And Devin Singletary, the Bills have figured out that he's their best running back, and they're feeding him. And having a competent running game is a big deal. And if the Bills can go out and run for 130, 140 yards against the Patriots, there's no way they're going to lose the game if they're able to do that.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And the Patriots also have a couple of injuries that are probably going to hurt them. Christian Barmore was carted off with a knee injury. Ian Rappaport reported today that there wasn't any, you know, structural damage revealed on the MRI, but hard to see a guy being what he was before, you know, 6 days later when he was carted off with a knee injury, even though there's nothing there on the imaging. But and then Isaiah Wynn went down as well. We haven't seen any practice reports or anything, so we don't know if those guys are going to play. But the Bills are definitely healthier. I mean, they've lost Trey White and Justin Zimmer to ACL tears, and that's it. Like, other than that, the Bills are really healthy going into the playoffs. Patriots are a bit, you know, wounded at in the trenches, where that's kind of their calling card.
Yeah, and that's huge. The Bills are extremely healthy, and that's huge. a team having all of their players available at this point in the season is a really big deal, because there's the Bills are the healthiest team in football by, if you look at total games missed, and it's not really all that close. And that is absolutely huge to a football team. And I think the narrative of this for this around this Bills team would be so much different if Josh Allen hadn't slipped on 4th-and-1 against the Titans, and the Bills are the number one overall seed in the AFC right now. Like, the narrative is so much different. This Bills team has been arguably top to bottom better than last year's Bills team.
Yeah, I mean, they're 0-5 in one score games, and they've blown out 10 opponents. Like, did you see that graphic the other day where if you flipped every one score game result in the NFL this year, the Bills would be 16-1. Like, yes, fluky things happen in close games. You know, really, they should be about 50-50. There's no art to winning close games. It's just random. But I don't know. I'm not concerned about it when they come to the playoffs, and if they play a close game, they're capable of winning it. It's just been bad luck so far. And I think you're right. The narrative's so much different if just one of those games goes right.
Right, and that's the crazy thing about the NFL is narratives in the media and what you see on TV, read on Twitter, whatever. That's not necessarily what it is. And this Bills team, it's the Bills and the Chiefs, and then everyone else in the AFC. And it's been that way. It was that way before the season, and it's still that way right now. Not saying that those are that's going to be the AFC Championship game, because it's unlikely that is. It's probably going to be a divisional game. That's the most likely time they're going to play. But in my mind, that's my power ranking is the AFC. Bills and the Chiefs, and then whatever other order you want to put the rest of them, it doesn't really matter. There's two teams that are elite, and then there's some other good teams, but there's two great teams.
Yeah, I think that's right. So let's break down the matchup a little bit. I think, you know, Deion Dawkins had probably the best game of his career the first time, or the second game against the Patriots, and he didn't even start. He wasn't even supposed to play, and he just absolutely dominated all game. So I think the key for the Bills on offense is to just eliminate Matthew Judon again. And, you know, they've moved him around on both the left and the right side, so he'll see some Spencer Brown, he'll see some Deion Dawkins, but for me on offense, it's just take care of Matthew Judon and give Josh Allen all day. Because if you give Josh Allen all day, he's going to take whatever he wants.
Yeah, the Bills offense, for better or worse, completely revolves around Josh Allen. Now, it's been better in recent weeks, as we mentioned, with the running game being a little better. But Josh Allen's still a really significant part of that running game. And the Bills offense is very one-dimensional in the sense that Josh Allen matters a ton. Josh Allen plays really well, it is very hard for me to imagine anyone beating the Bills. And if Josh Allen gets a clean pocket, it is very hard for me to imagine him not playing very well.
Yeah, and then you look at the other side of the ball. It's just don't give up those chunk plays on the ground. Can you bleed 3-4 yards of play on the ground? Yeah, that's fine, because eventually you're going to get a stop, and Mac Jones is going to have to throw the ball on, you know, a third and medium, third and long, and you sure as hell like those situations. And the way the Bills' defensive line's playing lately, yeah, let them pin their ears back and rush the quarterback in those situations.
Yeah, the Bills' defensive line has been much, much better lately, and the interior of the line with Ed Oliver and Harrison Phillips especially has been absolutely fantastic the last few weeks, and going to the playoffs, I really like where the rotation's at. There's the snaps are kind of back to even. Jerry Hughes has been absolutely fantastic again the past few weeks, and part of that, he's got less snaps throughout the year. He's an older guy, a veteran, but he's still a top pass rusher. He's not an elite pass rusher in this league, but he's still a very, very good pass rusher regardless of the sack totals. And just overall, the Bills have 6 or 7 guys right now that are consistently getting pressure on the passer. And if you can force a team to throw, which is what the Bills want to do and what they've done for most of the year, you're going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, so for me, it's the Patriots can't really make a whole lot of adjustments on offense that would scare me, just because they're not a prolific passing offense, and there's nothing they can do to become one right now. So for me, it's just what adjustments do they make on defense? Because we pointed out both zone and man, if Josh Allen has time, he's going to shred you. So it's, do they go more zone and hope that they can get pressure? Because I think that's really the only way you can try to beat them. Because if you play man-to-man, he's just going to pick you apart, especially when there's no wind.
Right. I mean, if you look at the playoffs the last couple of seasons, the teams that have won, especially Super Bowls, are teams who, in the Super Bowl, get a lot of pressure on the quarterback with four pass rushers. That's the formula in the playoffs against good quarterbacks. And that's the Patriots, if they can't get pressure with four, Josh, they're going to have a very hard time against the Bills offense. If they can get pressure with four consistently, it's a whole different story. Then it becomes a game the Patriots can win. If they can get pressure with four consistently, keep it a low-scoring game, keep the game on the ground, run clock, that's a whole different story. Like, I think, for me, the game really comes down to, can the Bills protect Josh Allen for long enough to make plays? If they can, I don't see a way the Patriots are able to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Can the offense give Josh Allen time for them to put up points? Because if they put up points, the Patriots can't keep up. They're not capable because they can't pass the ball that effectively. So, Nate, I think we've gone long enough, unless you have something else to add. Want to get into the prediction phase?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the weather. I think the weather, yes, it might make a little bit of difference. Obviously, when it's cold, it's a little harder to play football, catch a pass. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring than game two against the Bills. But I still think the Bills are going to win by a touchdown. And I'm going final score, Buffalo 27, Patriots 19.
I like it. I think it's going to be somewhere in that same neighborhood. It's going to be a one-score game on the final score. I don't know if it's that close. I think this will probably be one where the Bills struggle to put them away, which will be frustrating. But the Patriots are a good team. It's hard to just bury good teams. So I'm going to go Buffalo 30, New England 23.
Fair enough. I mean, that's going to be – I'm very curious to see how this game goes. I think there's the possibilities to me range from Buffalo blowout to Patriots close win. I don't think the Patriots are capable of blowing the Bills out. And if they win, it's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if Patriots win by a touchdown. I also wouldn't be surprised if Bills win by 30. Like, that's kind of the range of outcomes I see in this game.
I completely agree. So, Nate, anything else you want to add? Or we'll come back probably on Sunday, given that it's a late night Saturday game, with a recap of hopefully the Bills advancing to the divisional round.
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll both be at the game. It's going to be a great time. And hopefully the first Bills home playoff game with a full stadium in quite a long time ends in a Bills dub.
For sure. This will be my first time at a home playoff game at 28 years old. So very excited for it. That'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Do us a favor and share it with one friend this week so we can continue growing our audience as we go into the hopefully a deep playoff run here. You can follow us on Twitter at @Bills_breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.